So my name's Leanne. I'm a really grateful overeater. I'm going to share today on things I can't control and things I can. And this is something I think unites us. I know today's theme is unity. And I have been in since November 2021, and I've never left. I'm very, very thankful. I did come in after a very successful time in a way in pay where I took all the weight off and then proceeded to put it back on over time. And I realized that I was powerless to stop and stay stopped. So I knew that there had to be some explanation for why my food was broken or what was wrong with me, but I honestly thought I was insane. And someone came, gave me the advice. Their husband was actually in recovery, and I never met this man. But she told me that he would say, sugar is a white powder. And I thought, wow, that's so profound. So I guess maybe it's a white powder for me too. So I came into my first meeting. I thought, wow, these people are saying the stuff that I hear in my head. These people are all here for the same reason that I'm here. How can that possibly be? I was not sadly struck abstinent when I walked in the rooms, but I did come and keep showing up. I kept coming to meetings. For a long time, I identified strongly as an agnostic. I was unable to commit to God or to a spiritual foundation for the program. As has been shared, I would do that la 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 when God was mentioned. But somehow it became possible for the tools to keep my food down and for the steps to open my eyes and for somebody along the way to tell me, just act as if you have a higher power and you'll see what happens. So I count my abstinence from September 2018. And I'm very thankful to have a chunk of time together, because before that, I would get a few years together. And then again, that whole stay stopped thing, I couldn't stay stopped. So I'd like to talk a little bit about being a compulsive eater and about how that has changed my approach to life. And I'm putting it in the format of things I can't control and things I can control. So the first major thing I can't control is I can't control being a compulsive eater. I just can't. If I could control it, I would have done so. Who needs this weighing, measuring, committing my food, calling a sponsor, going to meetings where people talk about food all the time? Who needs it? Who need Well, I need it. I need it. If there's not a meeting, I don't feel quite myself. Another thing I can't control, and this one was huge for me and still is sometimes, but mostly not, is other people's opinions of me. I used to care about that so much, so deeply, that I cannot even tell you the amount of influence it had on my life. And at the same time, my opinion of me was in the toilet because I couldn't control my food and I couldn't control my obsessive food behaviors. And I thought all this judgment about being a compulsive eater when I was a compulsive eater and I had a disease. So for today, I look at other people's opinions of me as just, things that exist in my life that I don't need to take on board. Curiously, I'm a mother. I can't make other people make good choices, whether they're my children or somebody else's children. I used to think that just by wanting something enough and caring about it enough and putting my will and my energy toward it, that I would have their minds change and the outcome that resulted would be the outcome that it was supposed to be. For today, I realized that outcomes are not my job. I have a higher power, and it's my higher power's job as to what happens next. So to sum up, I can't control my past. I can't control my future. And I can't control what happens outside my own actions. So if I go through my day and I make a checklist of everything I encounter and I put a tick mark, is this a I can control it item or is this an I can't control it item? The pile of I can't control it gets really, really big. However, nobody in my life has ever held me down, forced my jaws open, and stuffed food in. That was a huge thought when I had that thought. I thought, wow, how could that be? How could that be? The compulsion can be so strong to eat. And how can it be that I've never been force-fed when my thoughts and my feelings and my emotions all those years were force-feeding me, in effect? What I can control is what happens in my day. I am thankfully retired just, over a year now, and I can control what I show up for. I can control if I go to the gym or not. I can put a meeting on my schedule and I can show up for that meeting. I can show up to plan my food and I can send my food to my sponsor. And then she and I can talk about it when it's time to true up. I can control how I talk to myself. That was such a big thing. I had all this negative rah, 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 going in the back of my mind all the time about how I was less than this one or worse than that one, that I really had to do a better job at this, that, or the other thing, that I was just not a good person, that I lacked willpower, that I had broken commitments and let people down, and it was all the time. I don't have to talk to myself that way anymore. I'm going to do a small pitch for meditation. Meditation practice teaches me that I can tell my mind that a particular thought is not a helpful thought and that I do not want to think it anymore. And I get to do this. And when I meditate on a daily basis, as I do, I get better at saying to those thoughts that wander in, you can leave now. And that for me was very huge. I thought that I had to think the thought, and I thought that I had to think the feeling, and that I had to act on the feeling. And yet, most of the time, the feelings are about things I can't control. And that led me in this great big circle right around every time to the bullseye, which was the food. So for today, I pray. I do practice meditation. I write in my journal. And I turn over those feelings and emotions and thoughts that are difficult for me. I can turn them over to my higher power, and I can gain the power to not pick up. Since the power to not pick up is very fleeting, I used to think the third step, to turn things over, I thought that was once and done. I thought I would turn that over to the care of my higher power, and then I could like dust my hands off and get on with my life. And I find instead that I have to keep the turning over going because I have the power of choice and my higher power gave me the power of choice. So I can choose to pick up those thoughts and those feelings, even though I know they're harmful, even though I know they're certainly unhelpful and may actively be pushing me back toward overeating. But I can turn them over and I can just say, you know what, these go in the things I cannot control pile. And I'm going to just take my hands off of them and go do something else. My beloved late sponsor had a favorite expression. And she would say, just go outside and wash the car. Well, in the weather we're having, I don't know that I would recommend that, but what she meant was change where I'm sitting, change what I'm doing, switch up my thoughts, and go do something active that's different from something I'm doing when I'm having those thoughts and feelings. And that's a tool, and that keeps me out of the food and the moments when it's hard. So that's just something. These are things that make the pressure go down. Nothing seems to make it go away completely. But I feel that the compulsion to eat for me is pressure. And I rev that pressure up by not being mindful about my spiritual state and about where my head is and about what's going on in my head. So if I can release my urge to control and my urge to enact some sort of order when it doesn't feel like anything is orderly. If I can do that, the pressure eases a little bit and the food is easier to resist and I get a clean day. So, just connecting these things. Nobody, when I came in, handed me a glossy brochure of smiling, happy people wearing makeup and skinny clothes, and told me that, hey, you just follow what's in this little booklet. I think everybody's got to find their own way through this program. But for me, a huge decision, and turning this into a bit of a pitch too, was my decision to do service. I came into the rooms, I'm surrounded by strangers. I don't know what is going on. I don't know how this is supposed to work. I'm expecting the glossy brochure and the instructions. I'm not getting them. But you know what? I can put the chairs out. And I know how to do that. And I know how to put chairs away. I know how to put books in a box. I know how to show up and be physically present at a meeting or on a Zoom call, even if I don't say anything. Better if I do. But I can do those things and they're really simple. So I'm reminded that spreading recovery is OA's primary purpose. Doing service takes my mind off me, which is where it was 24/7 before I came in here. And my mind is obsessive. So any time that I spend not obsessing about myself and doing something nice for somebody else is a good thing. The other thing that I found out that I was really surprised about, I thought service was really scary, and it's really not. Every service position I've taken, there's been someone doing it before me who's explained it to me. And as a reminder, this is a volunteer organization. Everybody on this call has showed up to be here on a voluntary basis. And everyone who's hosting and organizing this call is showing up and organizing as a service to all of us who are OA members. It's even a service to people who haven't decided to come because this whole Unity Day has been put together so that there is a place for me to come, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. So being part of a volunteer organization makes me feel compelled to volunteer. So I do. And in return, I learned I can show up for things. I can keep commitments. I can turn things in
You
before
have
they're due
4 minutes, Leanne.
Thank you. I can act responsibly. I can balance my checkbook. I can take the dogs out. I can make sure that I have healthy food in the refrigerator. And if someone eats it, there's going to be some other healthy food in the refrigerator. So my meals aren't a mishmash of trash. And in fact, there's almost no trash in my house. I do live with two other people and they have trash, but it's not my trash. Another thing that I learned through service is that I can speak in public. Before I retired, I ran monthly meetings with enormously senior people, usually about 60 of them, many of them very opinionated. And I kept the meetings on track. I prepared for the meetings. I sent the material around with my team. And we generally got coverage on everything we wanted to put before that group of people. I couldn't have done that without OA. It's a lot harder for me to share this stuff than it was for me to learn how to do that. Because once I've shared here, everything else seems easier. And last but not least, it really seems right for me to pay forward what I've received in the OA rooms. And I hope all of you will join with me and take my hand and walk and do some service. Just do what you want to do. Do something you feel comfortable or maybe only a little bit uncomfortable doing. And we can keep this going. Adapting to a Zoom era and having a lack of in-person meetings doesn't mean that OA can't evolve and change to continue to serve the members that are still here, and all of us are still here. Thank you for listening.